This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. Acts chapter 5. If you would turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in verse 1 and read down through verse 4. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, the good testimonies this evening, the good songs, the spirit that exists here from your people. And we pray that you would bless the reading of your word to our hearts. This is a spiritually discerned book. I spoke with somebody this morning before church who indicated to me that they couldn't understand so many things in the Old Testament. And I repeated to that person the same thing that I just said. This is a spiritually discerned book. You have to know Christ as Savior to be able to make sense of. You can read the words, but you may not know what they mean. And so if there's anybody here lost, again, I can't emphasize this enough. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. And they need to be saved just as we needed to be saved when we recognized we were lost and on our way to a Christless eternity. So speak to every heart. The message is to we who are saved. And we just ask now this evening that of all that's transpired, I realize how I need to stay out of the way of what you want to do here. And still at the same time give forth the things that you've put on my heart. And we ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I don't want this message to be exclusively a study of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, but I have to lay some groundwork before we get to where we are going. And I'm going to, instead of turning to, there's so many passages, I will give you the address, and you can look up what I'm about to say. So there are very many names that relate of the Holy Spirit to the Father. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, we read of the Spirit of God. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:11, the Spirit of our God. And now all of these are talking about the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 10, verse 20, the Spirit of your Father. 2 Corinthians 3:3, the Spirit of the living God. Genesis 6:3, God says, my Spirit shall not always strive with men. In Genesis 6:3, okay, Psalm 139, verse 7, whither shall I go from thy Spirit? And obviously many, many more, which are descriptive of the relationship of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, to the Father. Whereas if you don't have him as your Father, then God. But we refer to the same person. All right, secondly, names relating of the Holy Spirit to the Son, Jesus Christ. And go with me to Romans chapter 8. I want you to look at this one, Romans chapter 8. And it'll become more important later on. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 9. Well, read verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You're lost, that's all you are. That's all you can be. That's all you can ever attain in the flesh. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of these. None of his. So the Spirit of Christ, referring to the Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, Spirit of Jesus Christ. In Galatians 4, 6, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son, all referring to, again, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, there are personal names like the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. So if you're in Romans, go back to chapter 1 and look at verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Right, he's called the Spirit of Holiness. In, I've got to put my glasses back on because my right eye does not have a reading contact. All right, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, the Holy One. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, the Eternal Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, the Holy Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In John chapter 14, I'd like you to turn there. John chapter 14. And look down here in verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. The Spirit of truth. All right, in chapter 14, look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. All right, chapter 15, and look at verse 26. But when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So we know that the comforter also is the Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. All right. Now, all of those things are important for this reason. 1 John chapter 4, if you'll turn there. 1 John chapter 4. And look at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. This is important. He is called the Holy Spirit to differentiate himself from every other spirit. There is only one Holy Spirit. There are many other kinds of spirits out there. There are other so-called Holy Spirits. From 2 Corinthians 11, 4, and other Christs and other Gospels. But they're not the true one. All right? Now, that is why we are told to test the spirits. Examine them. Prove them. In order that we may hope to know them, or may try to know them, or actually know that these are false. If you try them, if you test them according to the Word, ultimately, you will find them out that they are not what they appear to be. And sometimes that takes some work because these are clever people working through wicked forces. And they will do and say things that you will look and say, oh, yeah, I know, I agree with that, or I agree with that. But, you know, you don't know what's behind it all. All right. Now, I said all that to say this. The Holy Spirit today is basically forgotten, ignored, or rejected. One group, for sure, by modernists. by unbelievers and unbelieving mainline religions in their theology. But you need to be careful because we might just do the same thing. We can forget him. We can ignore him. And the longer we do things like that, the easier it is for us because the conviction isn't as strong. If you, with just a conscience, you can do something and know, you know, I think I did something wrong. You might be bothered by that, but if you don't act on that, the next time it won't bother you. And the next time it won't bother you, you'll never give it another thought. Oftentimes we read, even with people who profess to be evangelical, that the Spirit is basically just an influence or a force. More so in mainline, not so much in evangelical. But you have to know that, I'm not making this up, in Catholicism, they basically just ignored the Holy Spirit. And if you'll search this out, you'll see that the priests, the priesthood, the church, Mary, dead saints, were put in the position of the Holy Spirit. They all had that power. They were given that kind of power, and the Holy Spirit, of course, wasn't even involved in anything. And the same thing can happen with anything if you start misusing who he is. So he is a person for sure. Now, I started in Acts chapter 5. If you want to turn back there, that's good. We'll go to a couple of passages here. And I want you to see that the Holy Spirit, we know that God obviously is God. There's no mistake about that. And we also know from Scripture that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Here's where it gets muddy. Here's where there are large groups of churches, many influential type people in the ministry, and when we get to the Holy Spirit, then suddenly we hear from people that are not saved, he is not God. But if you read this very carefully, verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Okay, does anybody not understand that? Peter, you know, is saying to Ananias, why did Satan fill your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? All right, now look down at verse 4. Whilst it remained, was it not in thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. All right, now I'm trying to elevate something here, someone here, to the position that he ought to be elevated. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is God. All right? In 1 Corinthians chapter, I think it's chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's go down here once I find it. 1 Corinthians 12. And look at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Many gifts, one Spirit, Holy Spirit. Go down to verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. The Holy Spirit is God. All right? It's the same thing. Holy Spirit is God. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, He is God in eternity. He is the eternal Spirit. Now, he has to be God. There's no one else that he can be. In Psalm 139, verse 7, he is omnipresent. Whither shall I go where he's not there? And you know Christ is omnipresent. You know God is omnipresent. Well, so is the Holy Spirit. Second Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is the work of the work of inspiration under the work of the Spirit, and it resulted in the Word of God. All right, all that came together. It is God alone who can give the truth that so inspires men to recall what was said and put it down so it's exactly what God meant to say, and it's said in the manner that he meant, obviously. What a difference between the Word of God and the Quran. Or the Book of Mormon, which is a plagiarism on the King James and some other false history. Or the New World Translation, so-called, of the Jehovah's Witnesses that have taken the deity of Christ out. Or the writing of Ellen G. White as inspired in Seventh-day Adventist, or Mary Baker Eddy, or in Christian Science. The Holy Spirit impressed the writers to write exactly what God wanted written, in exactly the way that He wanted written. And if it's from God, how can you improve on perfection? If God were to come here and to speak to you, and it was written down what He said, who are we to go out and say, well, it would be better said if He said it this way? And He didn't really mean that, because He meant something else. God will tell you exactly what He feels, what He means, what He wants you to know. And this is important. So we know from John chapter 12, 14, that the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. Apart from the illumination of the Holy Spirit in my life, I don't know any more than a lost person. I just don't. He has to teach us. He will guide us into all truth. In John chapter 16, verse 13, He doesn't speak of Himself. You want to do a good study on the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Go to Genesis 24. Abraham's servant. Was it Eleazar? Eleazar. And when he went to search for a wife for Isaac. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He didn't talk about Himself. He promoted the Son. The Holy Spirit doesn't talk about Himself. You go into these charismatic meetings, and it's all about the Holy Spirit. All about the Holy Spirit. Nothing about Christ. He doesn't do that, and He shows us things to come. All right. Now, that being said, there are sins that can be committed against the Holy Spirit. So the first one I want to go to is Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And these are very important because we're talking about God, the Spirit of Christ, and we have to listen to what is being said here. All right, Stephen is giving a defense of an history lesson to the Jews and what they have done. And Stephen not being a... Stephen was very harsh, quoting from Jonathan in this. But what he said was very true. Verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. This may not be you, but for me it is. I can go back and I can read some of Billy Sunday's messages. And I read them, and I can feel I can feel something that's going on, because he just like punches you right in the nose with Scripture. He doesn't hold anything back. Stephen was like that. I mean, can you imagine being called stiff-necked and uncircumcised at heart and ears? And you always resist the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost can be resisted. Primarily, this is for sinners, but not always. I would like to think that we as saved people wouldn't resist Him, but these people resisted the Holy Spirit of truth. He came into the world to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So what does man do? Well, man sits down and he says, You know, I think that's too harsh. We need to minimize the impact on sin. And so they resist that, and they change sin to be acceptable. They change wordings. We don't call people drunks anymore. We call them sick, syndrome. There's something they can't help themselves. We don't talk about whoremongers anymore, but the Bible does. And because what? Why? We tried to level the playing field so that we can all be outside the ark and feel comfortable, because that's what's happening, and that's what's been happening. And so be careful, because we, even as believers, can resist the Holy Spirit, because he is prodding you, he is convicting you of things that are here in the Word of God that maybe, in a sense, that he wants you to do, but maybe in a sense he doesn't want you to do. And you can resist them. You may know this by experience. I think I do. All right, Ephesians 4. Here's the second one. Here's the second sin that can be committed against the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to elaborate on something later on, but we'll just take what's written here. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieving the Holy Spirit through disobedience. Your actions, your behavior, I think it would probably get to the level of thoughts, your speech. You can disobey him through those things. All right, the context of this is very important. So go over to verse 25. In verse 24, it says that you put on the new man. If you're saved, you have a new nature, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So that's got to be speaking of something more than just something in just an influence. It's got to be talking about, I believe it's the Holy Spirit. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. All right? So, put all those together, and you disobey those things, you grieve the Holy Spirit. Go down to verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Again, these are things that are sinful against the Holy Spirit, because he is perfectly holy, and he wants to do certain things with you and through you, and these things are offensive. You are causing pain to the Holy Spirit. Verse 32, I don't think there'd be any pain in this. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we're called on, as believers, to be true in everything. In behavior, in speech, and again, I think even our thought life. To put away everything that's false. Now, how do you know what's false? Read the book. The book will tell you what's false. Right. You just need to do that. To be faithful in very small things that other people may never pay any attention to at all. Are there things that you do where you are faithful in small things that nobody else ever knows about? It doesn't matter that they know them or they don't know them. You want to be faithful with those things. Grieving the Holy Spirit results in not wanting fellowship with him. Why would unholiness want a fellowship with holiness? the flesh would be in control, why would you give in and submit yourselves to the Holy Spirit when He has been leading you in the opposite direction, wanting you to clean up this or clean up that or go here or not go there? Number two, I don't believe you can sing a song of victory. And if you do, you're hypocritical. And number three, He stops doing the work that He delights to do in us. So, why would you do something that causes you to lose every time? If I was going to be in a competitive game of anything, I would want to win. And if I was doing something in the game that every time I played, I lost because I did this one thing or two things and I never changed it, why would I even play the game? So why would we want to go through our Christian life out of fellowship with Him, He not working, doing the things He wants to do because we are grieving Him, we are sinning against Him, and trying to explain away where we are? This is a serious thing, grieving the Holy Spirit. Here's another one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Okay, now this is, before we get to this, I just need you to know that I am not implying anything what I'm about to say. You cannot grieve away the Holy Spirit. Why not? Because the verse says you're sealed unto the day of redemption. You cannot break the seal. So again, you're doing the damage here, now. But you can't. When it talks about the unpardonable sin, the Holy Spirit comes up. And people like to come up with all crazy ideas. Number one, a saved person cannot commit the unpardonable sin. Because we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. If we could commit an unpardonable sin, then the Holy Spirit would have to go to hell with us. And He's not going to hell. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. All right, that's a little bit more severe than grieving. Quench not the Spirit. To quench is to put out, to extinguish. But again, not put away. So you're stopping somebody from having any impact on your life. We see that the same words used in Ephesians 6 when we talk about the whole armor of God. In Ephesians 6, we're told to put on the whole armor of God. And in what verse are we at? Well, it talks about every piece of equipment that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then we go verse 12, verse 13, verse 14, verse 15, 16, and then verse 17. But in 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, to put out, to extinguish the very harmful and hurtful things that are coming from the devil himself. All right? This sin is to fail to recognize the Holy Spirit's guidance. Where He's convicting us, He did not say that He's going to lead us into all truth. And that He wants to do this and He wants to do that. Yes, of course. So, whereas grieving is a sin of action, sin of what we would say a sin of commission, quenching is a sin of omission. Not doing what we're told to do from God's Word. Not separated from things that are unholy. Not separated from the world. Not bearing fruit, having no desire to bear fruit, and no interest in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit all comes from the Spirit of God. It's one fruit, many parts. And we can go farther. No interest in souls whatsoever. None. So we don't do anything, yet the scripture is very clear. I don't know how you can read Mark 16:15 or Matthew 28:19-20 and say, you know, I don't have a responsibility or accountability to go out and tell other people. Yes, you do. But you read it and you say, I'm just not interested. That's for other people. That's for people that are better at things than I am. So quenching the spirit is quite serious. And this goes along with this. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look down here in verse 18. A little piece of counsel on the book of Ephesians. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 are doctrinal. 4, 5, and 6 are practical, although there's doctrine in the practical. So you're going to see a lot of practical things in 4, 5, and 6. And you come into verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So I'm not making this a separate one because I think this is under quenching the Spirit, but not being filled with the Spirit. All right, so the analogy is alcohol and filled with the Spirit. Both of those are controlling. If you consume alcohol in little portions or large portions, you lose control. It controls you, what you do or what you don't do. All right? We can include drugs of every kind that's on the marketplace today. They do the same thing. As opposed to the guidance and control of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we talk about control, the Holy Spirit is not a narcissist. He is not going to force himself on you. I mean, we every time somebody hears about control, then immediately their thinking is, oh, he's going to force me to do this? No. He's not going to force you to do it. He'll bring conviction, and after he brings conviction and you don't respond to that, maybe he'll keep it up, maybe he'll make it more severe, maybe he'll just back off. Say, okay, have at it. So we need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, let me give you an example. None in the Christian life is as such, but in a way. In Acts chapter 2, at the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was come, fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay. These people spoke the truths of God, the wonderful works of God, in the languages of the people that were present from all around the world. The people understood in their own languages. It was not gibberish. It was not that they didn't, these were unknown languages. They were known languages. They were filled, and that occurred then. It occurred a few other times in the book of Acts. And you've got to understand that these were things that were confirmatory of what was taking place. And once we have the final verse of Revelation and the book is complete, we don't need confirmation. We have confirmation right here. You don't need more confirmation that you already have. People are always looking for something more than we have. We've got everything we need. We always have. Satan filled Ananias' heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. In verse 17, the people were filled with indignation at what was taking place, because many people got saved after they died, and the church was just consumed with, you know, what is happening here? And the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they were filled They were controlled by their anger. In chapter 9, verse 17, let's look there. Chapter 9. Saul, Paul is still called Saul here. 9, verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive this, thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're controlled by Him. And all you have to do is read the epistles and read what He did, read where He went, read what happened to Him. Somebody that's not filled is not going to do that. How many times was He beaten? How many times was He in the sea? How many times was He thrown in jail? Somebody that's not filled with the Spirit would have quit the first time He was beaten. In Romans chapter 1, if you would turn there. Romans chapter 1. We see it, what happens when people reject the Lord and reject His Word, reject Christ, reject creation, reject morality. A fellow told me that he was raised, his mother was a Baptist, his father was a Catholic, and she was pretty much a Baptist believer. And he said the one thing that I ever liked about the Bible was the morality of the Bible. Wow. That tells me a lot. It tells me that you're going down this road. And so we have three times where God gave them the people up. In verse 28 is the last time. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, controlled by all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do it. Why? Because they were controlled. This is the work of the flesh. All right? One more in Romans chapter 15. And look down here in verse 14. And I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. And in verse 13, of course, it's talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. With all knowledge and able to admonish one another. You have, as being filled with the Spirit, the ability to counsel with other people. And Paul is telling them, do it. We don't need to send them to somebody. We need to do this ourselves. We've gotten into an awful mess. That we have stepped aside and not done the job that we have the capability to do. I don't know that whether we're filled or we're not filled, but we're just not doing that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, filled with all the fullness of God. Philippians 1, 11 or 19, filled with the fruits of righteousness. Colossians 1, 9, with knowledge of His will. When it says, and be filled with the Spirit, it's talking about something that is continuous. I would say that there was a form of filling that led you to come here. I don't think you came here of the flesh. Who would come here of the flesh? Who would want to come here and hear this? So you came, you know, because the Lord is controlling you, but that doesn't end there. What happens when you leave? What happens while you're here? You still need to be controlled with the Holy Spirit. So I have in the house a sugar packet. One is a sweetener and the other one is a regular packet. They are sealed. There's nothing in them. And I brought a can. I forgot to bring it up here. I have a can of seltzer water that has never been opened, and there's nothing in it. When you got saved, I believe we all were filled with the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. Now, what's happened? What's happened? The control that the Holy Spirit wants to mold our lives to Christ-like and God-like and holy has been abdicated by the flesh. And it's a sin against the Holy Spirit. It's a sin not to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Listen, there are an inordinate amount of things that transpire in every day that we look at as commonplace. They're not commonplace. I believe the Holy Spirit is interested in everything we do all the time. I don't need to get more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to get more of me and you. And we're capable, just like the lost, in resisting the Holy Spirit, saying no, no, no. And the Holy Spirit is saying yes, yes, yes. And if you keep it up, the no's win. But you lose. And I lose. And we all lose. And I believe that we would be farther along in our dealings with the Lord and the close relationship that we have together with the indwelling Holy Spirit, if we would know more of what He is doing through the written word. Because He is doing something through the written word that is exactly in line with God's will. He's not going to lead us in the wrong direction. Here, I'm not going to cite the circumstance, but there are people that say, it is God's will. It was God's will for me to do this. And there are people on the other side that say, it was God's will for me to do that. And they're opposed to each other. It's biblically. So it's not what you say. It's what you do. It's what God's word gives you. And again, you know, we've done messages where we've spoken on a particular topic and nothing else. And the Holy Spirit has spoken through the word to you about something completely different. And you responded to that. That is exactly what He wants. Sometimes it's exactly what the message is about. I think that we've done some good things here over the years. And the results of the summertime are just fantastic. But we have to be careful that the Holy Spirit is in control, not us. Because when we get in control, we're going to mess it up. And we'll mess it up for ourselves and we'll mess it up for other people. So let's pray. As you bow your heads and close your eyes, I don't know where all of you are spiritually, but I know God does. I know that within me is a Holy Spirit that wants me to do the right thing. The right thing according to Scripture. He doesn't impose Himself on me, but He does make me uncomfortable. And I wouldn't want it any other way. And neither should you. If you say, well, I've never experienced any discomfort from the Holy Spirit, then I wonder if the Holy Spirit is convicting you at all. And if He is, it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. Because He sees that you need to make improvements so that you can be exactly what He wants you to be through the Word, because He's there to get results from you. He's not a guidance counselor that works Monday through Friday. He's there all the time. I believe He can even be there and controlling the dreams. Every aspect of your life, let Him. And yield to what He's doing there. You drive out here and you go toward Cumberland Farms, and you stop, see there's a stop sign there. Well, why don't you act the same way that you act with the Holy Spirit and not yield? And see what happens. You might make it out onto the street, or you might get killed. But the choice is yours. You don't have to yield to him, but understand, you resist him, you grieve him, you quench him, you don't be filled with the Spirit, then you're on your own, basically. Just like when you were lost. And that's a bad place to be. If there's anybody here this evening doesn't know for sure about their salvation, wants to, why don't you come down here and let somebody show you how you can know for sure. No pressure, just the truth. And if the Lord's speaking to us as saved people, which I hope that He has, then I pray that you would make the right decision as well. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your concern for us. Thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit. Yes, He is God. And He is holy. He possesses the spirit of holiness. He is our only link to true holiness. We can find something superficial, we can call it whatever we want, but it's all presented through Him by your word. So speak to our hearts here tonight. We'll be very careful to thank you for it, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay for the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.